Okay, back to where we left off with Kiddush. Yesterday we were talking about what Mevushal, not Mevushal, that whole thing. Okay, now that you're ready to make Kiddush, okay, so the thing is, you fill up the cup, you pick up the cup in your right hand, this is the way it says in Halacha and in Kabbalah, you pick up the cup in your, if you're right-handed person, you pick up the cup in your right hand, transfer it to the left hand, and then bring it down into the palm of the right hand. Now when you hold it, you hold your with the four fingers around the cup, and your thumb also around the cup. So in other words, the cup, we don't hold the cup like this by Kiddush. We actually hold it in the palm of the hand. So you pick it up in your right, transfer it to the left, and if you're right-handed, bring it down to the right. If you're left-handed, then you pick it up in your left, transfer it to the right, and then you bring it down into the right left hand, which for you is your right hand, but the left hand. I told you, some people, this is our custom based on Kabbalah and Halacha, by the way. Anyway, now, before you start saying Yom HaShishi, which we say Friday night, we'll discuss again why you say it again by Kiddush. So it says you look at the candles. Why do you look at the candles? Because the Gemara says, if you walk fast or run during the week, you lose 1/500th of your eyesight. Don't ask me what it means, but that's what the Gemara says. And when you look at the candles Friday night, you get it back. Why? Because there's two candles. One candle is Ner, Nun Reish is 250. So you have 2 times 250, so you have 500, so you have... You get back, the halacha says, the gemara says, and the halacha brings it down. You look at the candle, so you get your back the 1/500th of your eyesight that you lost by walking fast during the week. Now, we begin with Yom HaShishi Vayichul HaShemayim Varetz V'chol Tzvam. Now, normally, the din is, you're not allowed to begin from the middle of a pasuk. You don't begin from the middle of a pasuk. Because the Gemara says a rule called Pasik Le Pasik Mesha Nan Le Paskinan. At the Psukim, the way the sentences are divided up in the Chumash, in the Torah, were given by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. It's not rabbinic, later, whatever. The Psukim, formation of the Psukim, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So therefore, the Gemara says, any Pasik Moshe Rabbeinu didn't finish, you don't not finish it. Therefore, there's a custom. When you're writing something and you only quote a half a pasuk, you write the word vigomer or like vyav gimel. What does vigomer mean? And finishing the pasuk. In other words, we're telling you that it's not a complete pasuk yet because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't finish the pasuk. So normally, vayyem hashishi is really at the end of a pasuk. The pasuk is vayyerev vayyveker yom hashishi. It was evening, it was morning, yom hashishi. Why don't you begin from Vayyere Vayyibreke Yom HaShishi? So it says in Halacha and Kabbalah also that Yom HaShishi is Yud and a Hey. Vayuchulu HaShamayim is Vav Hey. So when you say Yom HaShishi Vayuchulu HaShamayim, you're actually hinting, alluding to Hashem's name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So then, again, there's a lot of different customs also. Do you stand by Kiddush? Do you sit by Kiddush? Our custom is we always stand by Kiddush. Even Shabbos day, when a lot of people want to think that the Rebbe sat by Kiddush, it's not really true. Because when the Rebbe made Kiddush in his room, Shabbos day, the Rebbe always stood. By the Fabrengen, when the Rebbe would make Kiddush by a Fabrengen, so the Rebbe didn't want to stand up because everybody would stand. It would be a big tumult. So what the Rebbe used to do is, the Rebbe used to sit, and then when he was making the bracha, he stood up from his chair. So which halachically is called standing, by the way. But the Rebbe didn't sit. When he made Kiddush privately in his house or in the room, it's clearly written that from the people in there that the Rebbe always stood by Kiddush. So Friday night we stand by Kiddush. Shabbos day we stand by Kiddush. And you look at the candles and then you say, Yom HaShishi Vayichul HaShemayim Varetz V'chol Tzvam. One important thing that we didn't mention when we're learning about wine versus grape juice or grape juice versus wine even those people that are lenient to use grape juice for Kiddush, but Poskim write, you shouldn't use grape juice from concentrate. Sometimes you look at the bottle, the grape juice is from concentrate. So then it's not really the preferred even method of grape juice. Because again, concentrate, like we learned when we were learning the Dinim of Brachas, what concentrate is basically, they take out all the liquid, all the water, and then it's condensed, and then they ship it, it's cheaper to ship. And then later they add water again. So that's why you buy, if you buy even the, say, the orange juice containers, the frozen cans of oranges, yeah? So what did he tell you to do? Add three cans of water to the one can of orange juice. So then there's a big shaila, if that's orange juice, if that's water. In La Locha, that would be considered water. And it's definitely not prominent. So Poskim write that even if you're using grape juice, you should make sure it's not from concentrate, because that's a big shaila if you're allowed to make Kiddush on that. For Kiddush? No. For Havdalah, you can use beer if you want. Beer is Chamar Medina. Whether apple juice is Chamar Medina, there's a big argument amongst contemporary Poskim. But the reality is, it's not really called a prominent drink.
What about scotch?
One second. Ramesh Feinstein categorizes Chamar Medina probably very, very, one of the best, the simplest, best way. He says Chamar Medina means, by the way, Shnorchet says you can only use Chamar Medina if there's no wine. If there's wine, you really should use wine. That's what it says in Shnorchet. Unless, if you personally like beer better than wine, so then you're allowed to make it on beer. Havdalah. Kiddush is always better to use wine. Now, Rabbi Shah says, what is the definition of Chamar Medina? It's a drink that you invite somebody over for to your house. Which means coffee, tea. You know, some say, come to my house for a cup of tea. You know, come for tea, come for coffee. Nobody says, come to my house for orange juice, iced tea, or apple juice. Nobody says, come to my house for, it's not a prominent drink. So you're in that guy's house, I'll give you something to drink. But you don't invite somebody. When you invite somebody for tea, coffee, something like that, that's a prominent drink. And then it has a dinner, Chamar Medina. Mashka, we discussed yesterday about if you can make Kiddush on Mashka during the day. Okay, halachically, if you take a grape and squeeze it, yeah, that halachically is called grape juice. Obviously, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. In fact, according to Kabbalah, we remember, we learned already, what was the Eitz Hadas, the forbidden tree? So in the Gaisha world, they call it the apple. Adam and Eve ate the apple. Nowhere in Torah does it say the word apple, by the way. It's either wheat, figs, esrog, okay, different things. So it says in Kabbalah, the Rebbe brings this down in the Sicha, that says in Kabbalah, that when Hashem told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree, so according to Kabbalah, it was a grape. It was a gefen. And the initial plan, obviously it's a funny word to use because Hashem knew what was going to happen. The initial plan was that Adam and Eve's sin, the prohibition would be only for 3 hours. From like 3 o'clock after he was created and he was told not to eat from the tree. And 6 o'clock that night when Shabbos would come, approximately, the plan was for Adam and Eve to take this grape, the Eitz Hadas, squeeze it, and make Kiddush on the grape juice. So obviously you see from there that grape, it was before Matan Torah, but in Halacha it says, if you squeeze grapes and make juice, that is grape juice. What is grape juice? What do you think of it? Wine is when it ferments, and that's where wine is more prominent than grape juice, because when it ferments, it's much more prominent. Okay, women are equally obligated in Kiddush, just like the men are. Scotch Shabbos day, some people permit it. It's not preferred. Halachically, you should do it on wine. Cognac and brandy, it depends. If it's Bere Pri HaGafen, then technically you probably would have a din of wine. But it's not proper wine because it's diluted with the, I don't know what it's in there. It's better not to use brand, but technically if you have nothing else, brandy, you make a Bere Pri HaGafen and brandy. And cognac also, many of them are Bere Pri HaGafen. If it's Bere Pri HaGafen, it has a din of wine. As it did, wine, you can make Kiddush on it. What? All of them, a lot of wines have sugar in them. Right? Some are extra sweet. They're not the natural sugar, but even the many wines add sugar. The regular Kiddush wine that's very sweet, they usually add sugar to it. It's not a problem with it. Okay, women need to hear Havdalah. That we're not talking about now. Women have to hear Kiddush just like the men. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch it says, Alter Rebbe writes, because women and men are equally obligated in Kiddush. So technically a woman can make Kiddush for a man. But Alter Rebbe says a very sharp expression for the Gemara, you shouldn't do it. Even though halachically they're equal obligations, and therefore technically they would be allowed to make Kiddush. But women have an obligation to hear Kiddush equally to the men, and therefore they have to hear Kiddush from the men, if they're listening from the men, and they have to make sure to answer Amen and not answer Baruch Hu V'Rach Shmai, because according to many Pasuk, including the Alter Rebbe, it's considered a separation. If it's considered separation, it's a shaila if there would actually be Yetzer Kiddush or not. If there's no men around, otherwise the men can't hear the women sing. But she should be Yetzer Kiddush, preferably to be Yetzer Kiddush from the man. Or if they're alone, they can make their own Kiddush. Now, why are women obligated? We'll finish with this. Why are women obligated to make Kiddush? Question is, it's a mitzvah connected to time. It's only on Shabbos. And we know women are not obligated in mitzvahs connected to time. So why are women obligated equally to men in the mitzvah of Kiddush? So the answer to this, the Gemara says, because it says, the one Ten Commandment says Zachar, and the other one says Shamar. Zachar v'Shamar b'diburach. Zachar means to remember Shabbos, that's the positive mitzvah. Shamar means, right, the Gemara says, Shamar means don't desecrate Shabbos. The fact that Zachar v'Shamar is put together, so the Gemara learns out, anybody that's obligated not to desecrate Shabbos is obligated to make Kiddush on Shabbos. The same thing we find, why are women obligated to eat matzah and Pesach? You have a biblical obligation for women to eat matzah and Pesach. Even though it's a mitzvah connected to time, and they're not obligated, the mitzvah is connected to time. So again, it's the same thing. In one pasuk it says, don't eat chametz, eat matzah. In the same pasuk. So the Gemara learns out, whoever is not allowed to eat chametz, which is a negative commandment that women are obligated in, so they have an equal obligation to eat matzah also.